Well, it's been a slow week after Easter, so I wrote a poem entitled, "'Twas the Sunday After Easter." "'Twas the Sunday after Easter, and all through the church house, not a creature was stirring, not even the church mouse. They've gone to the lake, they've gone to the coast, some just stayed home and enjoyed a late breakfast of wheat toast. Holy Week was so busy, and John ever so demanding. Then came the Lions Club Rodeo and so much cotton candy. Throw in Spring Fest, T-ball and soccer. The Sunday after Easter, oh my, don't bother. The few, the proud, I'm glad you're here. We so miss our friends, but maybe next year. Now, don't get me wrong. We are a church of much grace. We need not more rules, but please, this is our Sunday place. Yes, it's the Sunday after Easter. Now wake up and listen. The message, it's the same. He is not here. He is risen. It is the Sunday after Easter. But the Easter story doesn't end. The Easter story was just beginning. According to Luke chapter 24, where we were last week, the days following the resurrection were full days. Full days and revealing days. In Luke chapter 24, Sunday, this past Sunday, Nate Sanders read verses 1 through 12, the glorious resurrection event, that wonderful story. Verses 13 through 35, you may be familiar with, that it's often called the road to Emmaus. Many years on this Sunday, I've preached from that text. It's a delightful text as these friends are leaving Jerusalem. They're downcast, and here comes Jesus. They don't recognize him, but he begins to dialogue, and I love Luke 24, verse 17. Jesus asks them, "Hey, what are you guys talking about?" And I have to read it. They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, said, "Are you the only one in all of Jerusalem who doesn't know the things that have just happened?" And Jesus said, "What things?" It's almost tongue-in-cheek as Luke tells the story. The following verses are amazing as Jesus, first of all, they began to tell Jesus all that he missed and all that was happening. And then Jesus begins to tell them, well, there's a little bit more to the story. Now, they didn't recognize Jesus. And you remember then they were eating together. And then their hearts began to burn within them when Jesus disappeared. And they said, wow, that was him. So now, let me start reading in verse 33, Luke 24. "So they got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together. And they said, 'It's true. The Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon.' Then the two told what had happened on their way to Emmaus and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread." And now the text for today. "While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said, 'Peace be to you.' They were startled and frightened, thinking they had seen a ghost. He said to them, 'Why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your mind? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see I have.' When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they were still not believing it, and they were filled with joy and amazement, he said, 'Do you have anything to eat?' And they gave him a piece of broiled fish. He took it and ate it in their presence. He said to them, 'This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms.' Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scripture. He told them, 'This is what is written. the Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. You're witnesses of all these things. I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. When he had led them out of the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. There they worshiped him, and then they returned to Jerusalem with great joy. They stayed continually at the temple, praising God. That's how Luke's gospel ends. The last part of the gospel story, Jesus ascending into heaven. There are five, I don't know if it's words, five phrases, five truths in that text that have just leapt from the page for me this week. Here's the first one. Jesus said, "Peace be with you." Now remember, these are the first words they're hearing from Jesus, except for the two who've been walking along the road. The first words, when they look up, and there he is, Jesus says, "Peace be with you." They were startled. Yes, they were frightened. They were troubled deep in their soul, and they were filled with doubt. And Jesus asked them, "Why are you so troubled? I've given you peace. Why are we so troubled? Why are we so troubled deep in our soul? So many days, we spend so much of our time so perplexed and so disturbed, distressed. Peace," Jesus said. "I give you peace." Yeah, I want to say, but how and where and when, and yes, Jesus, but if you only, but Jesus says, "I give you peace." Peace. Notice, secondly, where do you find the peace? Verse 39, "Look at me." Jesus said, "Look at my hands, look at my feet." You want to know where to find peace? Look to Jesus. We are looking for peace. We're longing for peace. And like that old country song, we're looking not for love, but we're looking for peace in all the wrong places. The old hymn says, "Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of this earth, the troubles, the fears, the doubts that are very, very real, the things of this life's stuff, the things of life will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace." You look for peace. We're not going to find it in the world or at the bank. You won't find it through all these things that the world tells us will bring you peace. You find peace where they found peace when we look at Jesus. And then after saying that, I love it that Jesus immediately says, "Do you have anything to eat?" It's almost like tongue in cheek. He's just talked about peace, and he said, "Look at my hands and look at my feet," and they're looking, and then he says, "Do you have something to eat?" And they said, "Well, Catfish King, here we go, right? Here's some fish," and he took it and ate in their presence. I'm not sure all that that means, but I think Jesus was saying, let's do life. It is time, after you have God's peace, and after looking at Jesus, it's time to eat. It's time to do life. I have preached on this verse more this year, the first Sunday of January. I preached on Jesus' words, "I have come that you might have life." Life abundant, everyday life, glorious, meaningful, full life. If we as believers don't get that, then who will? As followers of Jesus Christ, we should be the life of every party. We should be living life with all that it has and all that it brings, and at times all that swallows us and overcomes us, but we should still have life. Walker preached the second week of Lent, Jesus' words from the cross, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." And Walker said, paradise is being with Jesus every day. I'm not talking about some false optimism, denying reality and hurts and confusion. I'm not talking about some happy slappy, but I am talking about living and doing life with hope, doing life with Jesus. Solomon, in all of his wisdom, in Ecclesiastes, Solomon said, life is meaningless, life is vain. But in chapter 3, Solomon said, Ecclesiastes 3, verse 11, he has made everything beautiful in his time. And he's also set eternity in the human heart, yet no one can fathom what God has done from the beginning to the end. I know there is nothing better. Solomon said, I know there is nothing better for people than to be happy and to do good while they live. Each of you must eat and drink and find satisfaction in your toil. This is a gift of God. Jesus said, I give you peace. In the midst of their turmoil and their fear, he gave them peace. He said, that peace is found when you look at me. And as quickly as they did, then he said, let's eat. Let's do life abundant. Was it finished? Verse 45. And then he opened their minds so that they could understand the scripture. He opened their minds in order that God's word would make sense to them. And Jesus, in the text, begins to talk about the power of the cross and the glory of the resurrection. He talks about the forgiveness of sins and repentance and grace. And then Jesus says, now you go and tell it. Go and share the gospel. He opened their minds that they could understand the power of the cross, the resurrection, the forgiveness of sin. And he said, you are witnesses. Go and tell it. He gave them a missions mandate. He said, preach it and live it because they need to see it. Now, if you're familiar with Luke, you know that Luke wrote Acts. And Luke, this last chapter, 24, and Acts, the first chapter, they're really identical. Because it's in Acts where Luke says, go and be witnesses beginning in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and all the earth. Matthew had Jesus getting ready to ascend and Jesus saying, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and I will be with you always. Jesus gives his followers this mandate not only to live life, but to preach the gospel, to preach a gospel of grace and hope and forgiveness. And finally, the fifth thing that jumps from the page, verse 49, I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but just wait until you've been clothed with power from on high. Jesus was saying, don't get ahead. Don't get ahead of the leading of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, you walk with me and you walk in my grace, but you wait for the Spirit and the Spirit will lead. You'll be clothed with power from on high. I read it last Sunday from this pulpit, John 14. Jesus said, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you. He is the Spirit of truth. The world cannot see him. The world cannot accept him. But you know him. For that Spirit, that person lives in you and is in you always. Jesus said, the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said. The Spirit. So what? The resurrection has happened. They've walked to Emmaus. The disciples are all shuddered, not believing those crazy women. And here two of them come and run and said, it is true. And then Jesus is there. And the first thing, peace. I give you peace. Not from the world, but my peace. Look at me. Look at me. And start living. Live life. Let's eat. And then go and tell. Go and tell this gospel story of the cross and the resurrection of forgiveness. Don't get ahead of me. Wait for the Spirit. And then verse 50. When he had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and he blessed them. When I read that, I picture Jesus with all those children around him when he put his hands and blessed the children. Jesus blessed them. I picture Jesus with those who had all type of disease and ailments, and Jesus would touch them and bless them. As Jesus shared on the Sermon on the Mount, and he said, blessed are those. Jesus longed to give blessings. In his last act before being united with the Father is he blessed his followers. And he blesses us today. How did they respond? And how do we respond to Jesus' blessing? They worshiped him. They returned to Jerusalem with great joy. They stayed at the temple and they praised God. They worshiped him. They worshiped him with great joy. And they hung out at the church and they were praising God. That's not a bad recipe for us on the Sunday after Easter. And the next Sunday, and the next, we receive the great blessings of God through Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. We have known the presence of the cross. We have experienced the resurrection. And now Jesus says, I give you peace. Start doing life. Turn your eyes to me. Go and tell others. Don't get ahead of me. I've blessed you. I have blessed you. Now worship me. Worship me in joy. Hang out at the church and praise God. Now, don't get me wrong. We're a church of much grace. We don't need more rules, but please, this is our Sunday place. Yes, it's the Sunday after Easter. Now wake up and listen. The message, it's the same. He is not here. He is risen. Maybe this day, new commitments are needed. New commitments to not just be Easter followers, but to be Christ followers. Experience his blessing and commit to worship him. Shall we pray? God, I thank you. I thank you that we don't live by the law, that we're not consumed with legalism. It can happen. But I thank you, God, that you have given us peace in the midst of a crazy world. Your peace. And we don't find that peace by going to the bank and looking at our account. That doesn't bring peace at all. We find peace when we look at you. And when we start doing life, living life, eat, drink, and be merry. That's what Solomon said. We have so much to tell our neighbors. We have so much to tell those around us that sin lost and death lost, and we win because Christ in us. We don't want to get ahead of you. We want to walk right beside you, filled with the Spirit. And we want to worship. We want to worship with joy. We want to worship with joy, and we want to hang out at the church praising you. Thank you, God, for blessing us through Jesus. May we make new commitments to you this day and all the days ahead. Joyful, joyful. We adore you. In Christ's name I pray.